Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I have learned so much from our first guest, whose intelligence and experience in so many aspects of national security has been a blessing for me, and I think to countless others, not only because he's brought it to bear in defense of our country in uniform, rising from the ranks of seaman to a 4-star Navy admiral over 36 years in uniform. He finished up his time as the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. But he's also gone on in the decades since he retired to be an extraordinary contributor to the public policy debate, among other things, I'm very proud to say, through his role as chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee, and as, well, effectively a columnist for the Washington Times. These days he is president of Lyon Associates, LLC. He is, of course, Admiral James Ace Lyons. Sir, it's so good to talk with you. Welcome back.
Nice to be with you, Frank, and your listeners again.
One of the things that I've appreciated so much about your time with us as the chairman of our military committee, Admiral, is your extraordinary strategic vision. And there are three pieces that you've published recently, I believe, in the Washington Times that I wanted to talk to sort of tease out some of the insights that you've had about some of the major foreign and national security policies we're facing in this war for the free world. Let's start with your recent piece about changing the dynamics in North Korea. This is, of course, a vexing problem. You've given it a lot of thought and time and actually had to confront it as a national security challenge on your watch at SyncPAC Fleet. What should we be doing that we're not at the moment to change those dynamics, sir?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is certainly massively increase our forces in the Western Pacific. You know, the old adage, peace through strength, it's as solid today as it was during Ronald Reagan's great years. So there's no substitute for recognized strength. That strength is what makes diplomacy work. And our people, our so-called intellectual elite in Washington, continually seem to forget that particular formula. Now, one of the things that I proposed in the latest op-ed, in order to change the dynamics, I want to withdraw all U.S. military-dependent personnel. And this would certainly upset both China and North Koreans' calculations on what actions we might be willing to take, because we essentially have removed a hostage force. And this would then provide us with a range of options that we certainly could activate North Korea. And most people need to remember, there'd never be a North Korea nuclear problem if it were not for China and Russia. They're the ones that have sponsored this. And in fact, the latest test was fired from a 16-wheel transporter erector TEL. They're called TELs. And that 16-wheel mobile TEL is only manufactured in one place, China. This had to be particularly galling to President Trump.
At the moment that he's been investing so much in getting Chinese cooperation and dealing with the North Koreans. So you're talking about essentially, Admiral, if I can use an old nautical expression, clearing the decks for action by removing those dependents. How do you respond to the oft-cited concern that basically those South Koreans are hostages across that demilitarized zone. If the North Koreans were simply to use artillery against them, perhaps with chemical or other horrible weapons of mass destruction, but nonetheless, Seoul being so close to the areas where those artillery pieces are lodged, that there's no really valuable or workable military option available to us.
I have to say, first of all, South Korea is an advanced society. They have a very significant GNP. The average annual salary for the South Koreans is somewhere around $36,000 a year, one of the highest in the world. And it is technologically advanced, and it has the manpower and resources really to take care of its own self-defense. Now, in one of the several things we could do, we could reintroduce tactical nuclear weapons back into South Korea. We also have massive weapons that I would plan to use against the so-called artillery pieces mentioned and are in position, certainly within range of Seoul. So there's a number of options that I think are available to us, and we should not be cowed, as we have always been. And when it comes to tyrants like North Korea and Iran, we always find an excuse not to take action, and that's why we're in the position we're in today.
Yeah. Admiral, let me turn to one other piece of the planet that you've also been giving a lot of thought to, again, having had long experience, including during your time as the Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, and that is the Middle East. And you've argued that it's time to address what is fundamentally a realignment now taking place in the Middle East. Talk about that in the context of both Iran and now more recently the Sunni disagreements involving the nation of Qatar.
Yeah. Well, certainly there's no lack of intestine warfare in the Middle East between the various players. To say it's a mess would be an understatement. And of course, key here is both Syria and Iraq are fractured states. The Sykes-Picot 1916 agreement is broken and will never be put back together. So we got to recognize the reality of what's taking place on the ground. Now, certainly, and I have to say this, one of the greatest strategic mistakes we ever made was invading Iraq. What we did, we removed the major threat to Iranian expansion by the elimination and really of the Iraqi army. And the subsequent actions that we took after we defeated Saddam Hussein's Revolutionary Guards and his army contributed to the mess that we're in today. Iran's objective is to build a land bridge that stretches from Tehran through Iraq, Syria, and into Lebanon, so it has established a Shiite enclave in the eastern Mediterranean. This would be disastrous not only for many allies in the region, but in particular for Israel. We cannot permit this to happen. And of course, one of the key things that I propose is the establishment and recognition of a sovereign Kurdistan in Iraq, and potentially certainly an element of Kurds in Syria, which eventually may be able to join up with the Iraqi Kurds.
Interestingly enough, Admiral, there was a meeting over the weekend of Kurds from both Syria and Iraq, and I'm told Turkey and Iran as well. And I don't know whether we will hear that they've made strides towards the establishment post Sykes-Picot, as you say, of a Kurdish republic. We'll see. But it is in further evidence of the kind of realignments that are now possible and necessary, it seems, to defeat what is emerging as a regional hegemony from Iran. We'll be talking more with Michael Prichard about this shortly, sir, but thank you very much for your time today and the opportunity to visit with you. It's always appreciated. We look forward to doing so again soon. Next up, we'll talk with Gordon Chang. We'll get his take on North Korea and China and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.